We are now down to Representative Monroe and House Bill 1178. Welcome. We're sort of a retiring group. Get it?
You look like you're about ready to retire, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I do believe I detected a few smiles, though, at this hour.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm about as short as they get on testimony, Representative. I just hope I can pack all this in five words. House Bill 1178. All the members here, would you rather wait?
I'm sorry, that's right. Kay is ill.
That's right. Nobody's ill.
Oh, you've already counted noses. Well,
at least you can go for a tie.
A tie is a loss.
I know. You budding speakers know all that stuff. House Bill 1178 has been sort of my pet project for a long time, probably 7 years, and it's still evolving. This time I've had other players in on it, and I think it's a real good bill. It's a mixture of, number one, my pet peeve in life is the just astoundingly escalating, geometrically escalating health care costs, which are going to cripple the nation sooner or later here if we're not, we got a sprained ankle now for sure. And also, you can tell by the sponsors of the bill that this is not a big spending bill. So that's another thing that I wanted incorporated into this, because I certainly don't want to do anything that would raise taxes or cause more expenses to the taxpayers. Bill 1178, at the discretion of the committee, I'm just going to try to draw a picture here, and then if you have questions, we can go through the bill, because I think I can explain it a lot better that way. What it does is it just takes, and at the end of the employment period, it just puts a pot there so they can put money in it after they retire. And the funds that they can use to put into that pot at the end are, number one, the unused sick leave that they normally have coming anyway. Number two would be a personal IRA account that they might have otherwise outside of the system. And number three, kind of a mix from last year, if the retirement system voted on it, approved it, it worked out actuarially, that people on the retirement system, the public employees, if the retirement system determined that, if the board determined that they had a dividend, they could put that in there too. Basically, those three things they could put into it. When they put the money in, it's considered income to them, to the IRS, but it's not considered like payment, wages paid or salaries paid by the public entity that they're hired by. But what that would do is it would enable these people to use the account for co-pays, drugs that Medicare or whoever doesn't want to pay for nowadays, which is pretty prevalent. They can use it for basically anything in that area. The account itself would grow just like any other account that's in the system. With the exception that if the system did decide to have a dividend, which isn't guaranteed, there'd be nothing paid at the time that the money was put into the pot. That could go in also. But it would be a good instrument for the employees to use after retirement if they'd like to use it. I think it would just have some more advantages, and to me it's a big advantage, because as I talk to my friends that are public employees, they have a whale of a time after employment, and it's because of health care. There's a lot of details in here, and I can explain most of them, but I'd be stand by for questions.
We'll take questions after public testimony. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Representative Monroe. Further proponents of House Bill 1178. Further proponents.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I guess I didn't really understand the completeness of this bill. Maybe it's because of my lack of knowledge of the way things go. But anyway, I was prepared to testify in favor of this bill because it, any time there's some flexibility given to a retired person, I think it should be given. I thought that this money would go into an individual defined contribution plan for that individual. Now, maybe I read it wrong.
That's exactly right.
Oh, that's right? Okay. So anything that could be done that way, I know they have the supplemental retirement system as well, and but this here would go into the retirement system per se. And I think any time you give a benefit like this opportunity to an individual that retires, I think it's good.
Thank you, Dean. Further proponents? Any further proponents? Hearing no further proponents, are there any opponents to House Bill 1178?
I think I'll classify myself again as an opponent slash commentator, and I'll be very brief. You know, the bottom line of this bill is that, from our perspective, is the concept and the ideas in the bill from a staff position are very exciting and could be valuable to many SDRS members. The Board of Trustees has previously studied variations of several components that are contained in this bill, mainly the defined contribution dividend account, which was proposed as legislation last year. We've talked about the conversion of sick leave to credited service in the board. And we've talked about retiree health benefit assistance, which I would agree with the previous speakers that is a desperate need on a lot of members on the part of a lot of members. The reality is, however, that the SDRS Board of Trustees has not considered this bill and the concepts contained therein. And the board has a policy on legislative procedure, and based on that policy, we must therefore oppose this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Asher. Further reply.
Paul has some comments.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
I'll be equally brief. This really has no cost. This has a contribution, a defined contribution account that would be funded by sick leave transfer, by IRA transfer, or by a dividend. When the dividend was, if a dividend was declared, that would obviously come out of the reserve, and that would then have a cost. But the framework currently is that there is no cost.
Thank you, Paul. Any opponents? Any further opponents? Hearing none, we'll open up for committee questions. Representative Siebert.
Representative Monroe, I could hardly wait to get to you.
That's what I was afraid of.
On sick leave, legally, are they still employed, basically? It's a payment by the employer. I can tell you I had an employee die one time in a car accident, and he didn't die. He went through a lot of hospital things and then his insurance. But the only time I could only keep his health insurance, group health insurance, for the period of time his sick leave was used up and his vacation time was used up. But after that, he was no longer an employee. So I'm forced to drop him from the group. So my question is, are we sure that sick leave and vacation time is not employer time?
Leap to Representative Monroe's defense.
Yep.
I think to answer the question for Representative Monroe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think that would depend on the particular employer. For example, in Mitchell at the high school, we have a wellness deal. And so we get 10 days of sick leave a year. If you don't use any sick leave, you have a choice of taking a cash payment that year or putting cash into an account that's payable to you upon retirement. And so an account like that could, in fact, be rolled over without, I'm guessing, tax implications, as opposed to getting a lump sum and then paying the IRS. And I think that's the kind of program that he's talking about. I know when my father retired out of the Postal Service, for example, his unused vacation days and unused sick leave days had a cash value that was paid to him upon retirement. And if I'm not incorrect, I think that's the situation you're talking about.
So we're saying that you don't have a business, the school system doesn't have an accumulated cost that's going to be generated down the line. They've already expensed that out and put it into a pool. Is that what you're telling me?
That would be correct.
You were very helpful.
Wouldn't be working for the employer because they've already paid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Wow. I just said it all for me. That was incredible, Jeff. And what I'd say is that Representative Olson's right. It probably varies from employer to employer, but this bill applies to after retirement, after they've retired. And definitions are in 312-47. As far as that goes, as far as termination because of an injury or something that causes them to cease their employment, I'd have to look at that on a case-by-case basis.
Well, I don't think that they'd be terminated. I think it's simultaneous, you know, the sick leave, because they were terminated. I mean, they would have to make an election in that window. But please proceed.
Representative Monroe, you mentioned you put it in the pot and you can take it out as you see fit, but if it goes into the Divine Benefit Package, you can't just take it out as you like it. Would that be correct?
Right. It would be administered just the same as any other defined benefit plan.
No different than the retirement plan. Is that correct?
No. Well, actually, it's a defined contribution plan. So
right.
It's like your 401k using other money, so it would not be commingled. Wasn't that right?
That's right.
Isn't that what you said?
Exactly right, Mr. Chairman. You hit that right on the head, sir.
Thank
sir.
You. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
No further questions of the committee. Then we'll close from public testimony and questions of the committee to deliberation and action of the committee. Representative Koistra.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm still trying to study the bill here, what they're trying to do. I think it has some merit, but as I look at it, I'm very strong on collective bargaining units oftentimes. And when you talk about after retirement, Representative Olson alluded to it also, local, whether they be some other entity it may be, oftentimes use your unused leave and they're paid $20 or $50 or whatever it is. That's negotiable. And many of them have plans after, say, retired 55, the bill that we just completed, they don't have health insurance. You know, oftentimes through the bargaining unit, you can work things out that they continue on that same insurance policy and they have to pay the premium, even though they no longer work in that system. And they differ from place to place. And that's basically a local collective bargaining. And I really don't know if the state really wants to get involved in this. I have some real problems with this, so I could not support it.
Thank you. Representative Siebert.
I couldn't find it when I was asking the question. We were talking about accumulated and how it's handled. But if you look at 9.6, at least that I'm picking up, a dividend account may not be considered accumulated contribution.
Right.
And once drawn out, cannot be redeposited. Now, to me, that basically says it's kind of a pool. If you draw it out anytime you want it, kind of thing.
That's right. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, frankly, that while the bill perhaps does have some merit, that given the potential for far-reaching impact, it really should go through the retirement system process. What changes in procedures is this going to require? I assume it's subject to the same investments and all those kinds of things. And if you got a lot of these and a lot of people were liquidating their assets at the same time, does that have implications for the system? Financially probably not, but in terms of cash flow it may. So I would move to defer House Bill 1178 to the 36th legislative day.
Is there a second?
Second.
Representative Olson moves and Representative Koistra seconds to defer House Bill 1178 to the 36th legislative day. Further comments on that motion?
Hearing no further comments, the question is the Olson motion to defer House Bill 1178 to the 36th legislative day. Those in favor of that motion will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Olson.
Aye.
Lisa.
Aye.
Aye.
Mike.
Aye. Olson motion to defer House Bill 1178, having received a majority vote of the members of this committee to defer to the 36th legislative day, is passed. Thank you, Rep.